Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
All right, folks. Well, welcome back. And, you know, before I dive into the content and so forth, I hope that everybody had a good Christmas. I hope that everybody had a meaningful, spiritual Christmas. For those of you who listen to my show on Friday, if we make this really about Christ, I mean, when is it a bad thing to make every day about Christ? And it's unfortunate that we do this once a year, but unfortunately, we've been caught up way too much into the paganism and into the commercialism of what we've actually been caught. We've been manipulated. We haven't been caught up, to be honest. So for those of you, because I've had a few people ask, I do have the shows up. They're posted now. And so I got them posted up this morning. Sorry, I didn't get to them this weekend. Had a lot of stuff to do, just like probably everybody else listening, that Saturday, and so at least most everybody was off. I got to tell you. I saw our postal folks running around. As a matter of fact, I don't know about how the postal folks feel where you live, but ours hates Amazon now. I mean, for the past few years, Amazon has been basically taking advantage of the United States Postal Service because they employ them on Sundays, and it's like they're saving a boatload of money by actually employing them on Sundays. And they're not getting their lion's share of what Amazon is making. And so it really bothers me that the United States Postal Service is actually being used that way when, whether you like it or not, folks, that's in the Constitution, that the U.S. mail would be operated by the government. Now, if we don't like that, we have to amend the Constitution. We can't just defund the United States Postal Service. I mean, we're violating the Constitution enough already, so, you know, why not? Why not just continue to shred it to pieces? Well, I'll tell you why not. Because every part of it is significant and every part of it is important. So, anyways, I'm really surprised that the federal government hasn't expanded on the U.S. mail service and let them kind of take over government email. In other words, an interface for people to be able to do email and so forth. Now, I wouldn't recommend the private world using the government email because, you know, they'd be monitoring everything you do because they've proven they can't be trusted. This is pathetic. Our government cannot protect our privacy. They've proven that they don't deserve that type of access. And I'm here to tell you that the framers knew they shouldn't have had that kind of access, which is why they came up with the Bill of Rights. So all that being said, I hope everybody, as challenging as it is, especially if you've got little ones, grandchildren, and so forth, because just because Christmas happens to be falling on the Sabbath day doesn't mean that we should not recognize the Sabbath day the way you normally recognize it. In other words, not riotously, you know, not playing and doing. And so I'm not sure, having the hindsight, you know, hindsight always being 2020, I think I would have changed. When we had Christmas on Sundays, I probably should have done my focus on the, you know, celebrating with the little kids, with my children on Christmas Eve instead of on Christmas, just to help them understand better how important it is to keep the Sabbath day holy. Anywho, all that being said, it's now or never. As you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, we're going through the what I call the Bill of Rights or the comprehensive issues of all of the things that are being violated within the Constitution. We've already read the Constitution, and we've kind of created this laundry list of things that need to be done via petition to get government to be aware of the fact that they are not complying to the Constitution, and they're trampling on our rights, and they're denying us our civil rights, our property rights, and so forth. And so the way to do this is by using First Amendment petitions. And I tell you that in your county, you need to have a First Amendment petition manager, somebody that keeps track of all of these things and keeps track of who's been, you know, read in or who has been petitioned and whether they have, you know, acknowledged it and whether they have responded and how they've responded. Because we, the people, need to keep track. We need to have full accountability on what they're doing and whether they are complying to our expectations. We expect them to comply to the Constitution and to support it. Anything else is unacceptable. Now, I had an interesting conversation with a county party leader, and it's refreshing to be able to talk to those who love the Constitution. And so in this conversation, because this gentleman is new and he's, you know, new to this whole thing. And as I was explaining, you know, this whole concept of the oath, you know, oath of a citizen, oath of office and so forth, I made a point that the PCOs, every person that is a representative of the people in the party should take an oath to office, just like they were an elected official. Because bottom line, when it comes down to that, you know, that seat, if somebody wants to challenge you, they, all they have to do is register and they can run against you and unseat you. So technically, you are a public servant. You're a public servant for those people who identify as a Republican to meet their requirements and represent them in the party. Even though it's partisan, it's very partisan. The fact of the matter is that you should have to take an oath to support the Constitution. There's nothing, nothing any U.S. citizen can do in violating the Constitution without some form of ramifications. And so why wouldn't we do this? Why wouldn't we make sure that everybody takes this oath? I'm a firm believer that if you're registering to vote, before you vote, you have better taken that oath of citizenship of supporting the Constitution, supporting it and defending it against enemies, foreign and domestic. So all that being said, what we want to do is we want to get into this definitizing again on a different view before I move forward into property rights, because that's kind of where we left off. And so definitizing, because as I mentioned, it seems like everybody understands how important this First Amendment petition in an organization is for your county movement, for you to create a collective conscience in your county to be able to get everybody to acquiesce and to coalesce on this concept of constitutional compliance by using these First Amendment petitions. So what we would, you know, reach out to you, what we would recommend is as you look at these things called, you know, the Bill of Rights or these different issues and so forth, that's really good and it helps people get educated. But what better way to understand the Constitution than being a part of the definitizing it process? In other words, at the county level, we need people doing this. Now, the danger of having one smart person do it means that everybody would then, that person would become very powerful because everybody would just believe what that person says. This is why I abhor the concept of listening and allowing a person to have that kind of power. I think it is a very immoral person that says, you know, listen to what I'm telling you and believe me what I say, you know, unequivocally. And so when we look at that type of person, yeah, I mean, I myself, and I say this all the time on this show, don't take my word for it. go read these documents yourself. Go find out what they say. Well, go find out what the framers actually said about the Constitution. It's not just for me to know. So in definitizing, going through this process, it's going to be easy as a couple of groups. The first group that kind of trudges through the snow, it makes it really easy for other people to just accept the path from point A to point B. And so they won't challenge themselves. They won't really read through it. Do not do that. We need everybody with the zest and the zeal of a true patriot to go through this, to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. I would rather have all of the truth come forth than 99% of the truth. We need it all. And so don't trust anybody that they've got it 100%. Don't trust me that I did. We need you. And so this is why I can't emphasize enough, because we're going to talk a lot about the First Amendment petition and all these different petitions. But if you get involved, if you become a delegate in your county as a part of this convention on definitizing the Constitution for your county, my friends, you are going to be the subject matter expert on this. There's nobody that would ever think to challenge, you know, your understanding of this. But the smart, humble person is going to reach out and say, look, this is what I've read here. Go read it for yourself. Tell me I'm wrong. That's what a good, humble servant would do. Anyway, we've got a break. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so if you understand what I'm trying to assert here, because I don't want to just leap forward into private property, I want you to understand that obtaining a solid foundation makes you a better leader, makes you a better servant, and it makes you a better example. And so take the time to get your hands on, and as a matter of fact, if you need them, I guess I should post them, but what I'd rather do is work with those people, because what we need to do is we need to create librarians as well. So let's say it's you. Let's say you start this whole thing off and we're here helping you. I will send you, what is it, about a half a gig of files and data and documents, source documents and so forth that you'll have, that you'll be able to go through and read for yourself all of these things. I mean, this, all the stuff I share on this show is in, this is called my reference library. It's stuff that I commonly use. I mean, I have a lot of other references. I can go back to the writing of my books and find other reference material there. But this is, you know, books. This is like the law. This is like, you know, the two treatises of government. And I'm proud of myself for getting that, because anybody that knows me will know that I get tongue-tied when I say treatises. And so, you know, I was never diagnosed with, what do you call that, dyslexia. But I've always had embarrassing moments where I would, you know, whether it be a public speech or a presentation or something, and I would make mistakes. So it's not unusual to be, you know, somebody like me to have a fear of public speaking. And so understanding that little insight should actually give you some empathy or at least some appreciation in understanding what it takes, because my first choice was not to be a radio show host. My first choice was not to be in front of a microphone. My first choice was, you know, maybe helping people understand, but I don't even consider myself a great teacher. I don't know what I'm good at, but I do know that the Lord has blessed me in so many ways, and I can't pull my hand back from the things he's put my hand on. So, folks, I hope you feel the same way. I hope you feel and you realize and acknowledge this solemn duty and responsibility we have with the blessings we've received. You know, there's this old saying, for those who have much, much is expected. And so I can't look at these people that have much and they're not doing anything. Anyway, let's not get judgmental. We've got, you know, we've still got a little time left in the year before we become judgmental, right? Anyway, definitizing the Constitution. I cannot emphasize how important that is. So you may, and the way you need to do this is through the ratification debates. You need to get your hands on the ratification debates. If you don't have them, let me know. I'll share them with you. If I get enough people pestering me, I'll even put them online. I'll put my Word documents up there for anybody and everybody to be able to pull in and use. But that being said, you know, I can give you the links if you can, and I would recommend going and getting your own. The only advantage that you get from me is I have formatted mine, so it's a lot easier to just kind of parse through and know where you're at with the navigations of, you know, the headings and all that type of stuff. So that's the advantage of having it into an electronic form. And if you're doing citations, if you're writing, if you're going to speak and you want to know, well, where was this? And then you find it and you can tell everybody that it happened on the 14th of June in 1788. And this is what George Mason said, right? Boom. That's what we call citing. So I do everything that I do for academic purposes so that I can speak academically, and in so doing, I teach you to go find these things, read them for yourself, and then you become smart. That's the whole point of academics, is making other people smart. Academia and academics is integral with an enlightened society. So with that, you know, one of the things that we want to just dive into now is this reinforcing property rights. Now, we've talked about money, and we've talked about this concept of being able to get your government back into the framework. let me ask you this. Who would tell you that only the Lord knew that our currency and our monetary system would become in such shambles that it would be a driving force to abandon our Constitution and a driving force to throw us into the arms of the globalists? Who would have told you that? Anybody that understands the Constitution can explain and outright tell you that God knew, our Creator knew, that the forces of evil would do so much to pervert our monetary system, which is why he galvanized, he entrenched our monetary system in gold and silver coin right there in the Constitution. It is the only allowable tender for the legal payment of debt. Read the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10. He knew. So, I mean, I speak about money as a as an ultimate in property, right? I mean, if you have an assortment, a sundry of personal effects, cars, properties, let's say you're really rich and you're leveraged in all of these different real estates and cars and everything. It can all be boiled down to dollars and cents. It can all be liquidated, and the greatest form of your property or the simplest form of your property is going into a single currency, into money. So don't think that money isn't your property. Don't think that the United States government has a right to claim that it is their property. No, it is not their property. It is a responsibility. They have the power to coin and set standards, but they do not have the power to possess and take and dictate who can have and who can't. There's nowhere in the Constitution that gives them that power. They understand and understood that having a good, sound currency was essential for a good economy. And they put things in place to protect the people and their property. Because even back then, an estate got liquidated one way or the other. And whether it was via, you know, gold and silver, because back in those days, they didn't have that much gold and silver. So they used other things like tobacco. But when it came down to actual monetary things, then they forced everything to go to gold and silver. Some states were printing paper money, like Rhode Island. Rhode Island was deliberately inflating its currency, and that's how they paid off their debt. Well, they claim they paid off their debt. Let's put it that way. So when we start looking at how important your property rights are, you can't gloss over money, because money is the denominator of all of your property. It establishes the absolute value. Now, there's intrinsic value. There's real value. There is what do we call that? Sentimental value. There's different things that, you know, there's different ways we assign a value to something. But when it comes down to an estate, or when it comes down to a bankruptcy, or when it comes down to forfeiture, or I should say seizure because of bankruptcy and those types of things, then it always comes down to what is the market value of something. So that's how they base on your compensation when they have to sell this or take that and sell it off or what have you. You know, Thomas Jefferson was foreclosed on. You do know that, right? It was the day he died when they foreclosed. But, I mean, he was unable to pay his debtors, and he died a broken man. Not that he wasn't a good man, and the Lord staved off his debtors until the day he died. But his whole estate basically got shuttled. It got, you know, sold off and went to the highest bidders here and there. And it wasn't until later on the state of Virginia came in and bought, you know, Monticello and all of his you know, his possessions that they could to restore that. You know, another thing that Jefferson contributed in was the University of Virginia. He was, I think he was one of the founding members of creating that university because he wanted to have a good quality university for the people of Virginia. Why send somebody out of state to Princeton or Harvard or Yale or the other Ivy League schools, I should say. But anyway, when it comes down to property, currency is the most important. This is one of the reasons why we absolutely have to use a petition. So we've got somebody, you know, if you can do this petition quicker, but we've got somebody that is doing this. This is one of the petitions we need, and we need it now so that this can go into our state legislators this session. We need to start our campaign on the Constitution this session. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Let me throw this out here too, folks, because this is so important why we're going through this and why all of this information is so important, because you need to start your constitutional campaign now. You need to be ready and you need to be out and in their face this session. You need to start hitting them with a petition after petition after petition. And each of these petitions, they're not going to be the same thing. It's not going to be about education. It's going to be about gold and silver coin. It's going to be about, you know, property rights. It's going to be about, you know, foreign entities owning resources and assets. It is going to be about every facet of the Constitution that our public servants are ignoring and allowing the Constitution to be violated and actually empowering our enemies. And in other words, they're committing rebellion, not just against the Constitution, but against us. They're committing warfare against us. So all of these issues, you know, whether it be the border crisis or whether it be, you know, the UN and foreign entanglements that are all unconstitutional, or whether it be the currency, it doesn't matter. As we start pointing out, and by the time we're done in 2 years with the next election, you know, when it comes to the primary or when it comes to the filing, We want to make that person so exhausted in having to react and react and react that they're not going to run again. We don't need pictures of them, you know, with barnyard animals. We don't need exposing pictures of dirty deeds. We only need to prove that they are essential in the furthering of the destruction of our constitutional republic by not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Whether they are unprincipled and whether they're that devious or perverted, I don't know, don't care. All I know is we can prove that they're not worthy to be public servants. So, forgive me for being frank and forgive me for being so heavy-handed, but it's about time we started reacting with a heavy hand, just as the Lord would have reacted when he walked into the temple and saw the money changers and the marketeers and those people that were trying to sell their wares in his father's house. Those folks are in our house. That is our government. And we don't have to tolerate their crap. Ah, they're going to see us as a huge threat. That's why they've been targeting us. They're not stupid. Got to give them some credit, right? So, as we go through the property and property rights, I can't emphasize money at all because it is, like I said, the denominator. The other thing, and one of the things we just recently went through, and I've the past couple of months, I think I read Madison's essay on property. The most valuable piece of property you possess is your conscience. Your ability to express itself, and what is wokeness doing to that, to your conscience and your right of expression? Oh, well, you can't say that because that hurts my feelings. It invalidates me. But you know what? If my words invalidate you, then you've got bigger problems than me. And so we have to start actually, you know, understanding how important they're stealing your most important property. When you can't express yourself, when you can't actually call somebody for what you see them, and you don't have to be mean. I'm sorry, young man, but you're a young man. You're not a man. You're too young to be a man. You're still doing your childish things. And I'm sorry, but wearing girly clothes doesn't make you a man at all. You may be confused. You may need, you know, and this is where education and helping people find Christ is so important. I can't say we don't need that, but our focus as an organization, I mean, we have to be working with pastors. We have to be working with church leadership. We have to. That's something that we do on this, you know, in tandem here. But what we're doing as an organization is to demand our liberties be restored. So we got to focus on those things. It's not that you've been relieved of your responsibility to say prayer. It's not that you've been relieved of your responsibility to, you know, to keep the Sabbath day, to observe the commandments, to live as a Christian. You're not relieved of these things, folks. On top of that, you're a citizen of the United States, and you have even greater responsibilities. Because right now, you are losing your property. You're seeing your actual government waging war in stealing your property and allowing these people and empowering them to steal your property, such as your right of conscience. The right of conscience cannot be stolen. And they're doing it. We need petitions. And if necessary, we need to actually stand up and say, call these people out for violating our civil rights, because they don't have a right for us, for anybody to call them what they want to be called. We have a right to call them what we want. And if that doesn't make them happy, if that doesn't trick their trigger, then tough. This is America, and everybody has a right to be insulted. Everybody. Even me. And yes, I get insulted. Welcome to America. Right? Another, and probably the most important one we want to focus on today, and we'll probably carry this over maybe a little bit into tomorrow, is state property and state resources. A state where its boundaries exist, everything within that, other than those things that are within the U.S. Constitution that has been delegated to the federal government to possess, all else is state property. Now, the state allows people to have private property. So in other words, if you buy your land, then that's your land. There's nowhere, nowhere in the federal government, nowhere where the people have never, ever delegated to the government to be able to withhold their land, withhold their property, withhold rights of their property, like mineral rights. If that is your land, that is your land. Show me in the Constitution where the people basically was able to say, you can do whatever you want, you know, just please let us have, you know, the ability to sit on some land, and but you can own everything underneath our feet. But we'll call this little boundary, this 1 acre lot, my land, even though it's yours. No way. The people never did that. The people never gave the federal government and the state government the authority to seize the essential property underneath our own feet. This is just ludicrous. It's antithetical to the principles of this nation of property rights. Remember, the two objects of government is to protect life and to protect property. And so as I say this, I know that some people think that, you know, their responsibility is to protect liberty. Liberty is your property. You have these rights. Those rights are your properties. Remember what Madison said, that if a person has, you know, property, they have rights in their property. It can be equally said that they have property in their rights. That's the paradigm. Had Madison not said that, then I would say, yeah, we have to start listening a lot more. But no, property, our liberties, our rights are our property. And they have to protect those things. And they're not doing a very good job, are they? So when we start looking at the state resources, we may actually need to get into, and this is where this may start at the county endeavors, where we have county constitutions, where the county starts recognizing, where we put into these constitutions that we, the people, on our property have these solemn rights, that there's never been a power delegated to any government in the United States ever to allow them to decide what property underneath our feet we're allowed to possess. That when we buy the deed for that property is ours. The only way we can lose that property is when we are justly compensated. Go read the Bill of Rights on the just compensation over forfeiture and confiscation. Actually, I don't even think that's in the Bill of Rights. It may be in the Bill of Rights, but I do know it's in the Constitution. They cannot just take it from you. If for some reason they come along and say by eminent domain, you know, this salt mine that traverses underground under your property, then as they start taking that, they can either pay you for allowing them to take that, or they can claim eminent domain and give me or give you just compensation for that property. It's that simple. It's not that hard. We have all the property rights, just like they have full sovereignty over all land. But they're stewards. They're supposed to be protecting us. And so we want to get into how specifically they're supposed to be protecting us, because we can't do this ourselves. We'll be right back after these two promos.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so first off, in your constitution for your county, you need to declare as your county what you consider land that is precious, what you define as state resources. What are the lands? And what are the resources in that county that really provide a large form or source of revenue for the county and state? Forests. The forest would be land that would be necessary land so that people could go harvest timber and be able to, you know, sell that timber so that they can bring and generate revenue for the county, for the state. It's the same thing with agricultural crops. Now, some people are growing marijuana. Whatever those crops are, there is taxes that and revenue that have been brought in. Now, when the federal government subsidizes a farmer to not grow taxes, guess what? The federal government is actually committing economic warfare against your county and state, because those growers are no longer producing and no longer will generate any revenue for your county and state. You can't tell me that's a good thing. And I'm here to tell you that when they start manipulating in markets that way, oh, they've gone well beyond their power in the Constitution, because they don't have the authority to do those things. We have been under economic attack and warfare going all the way back into subsidies. When the government started taking food and handing it back to the people, well, that seemed like a noble and nice thing to do. Ah, but then they started affecting other markets like government cheese and butter. Well, who was affected? The butter makers and manufacturers. The same thing with the cheese. The fact of the matter is, folks, that your state and counties need to declare that, you know, the land within the county, all land within the county, is in some way or some form a protected and strategic resource necessary. Now, one of the things we have to include, we want to make sure, because remember, I've said this before, that it is antithetical to government to tax property and be able to put a person in position where the failure to pay taxes means that they would lose their property. Well, hold on here. That means that government is going beyond its duty of protecting your property and now taking it because its needs are greater than you. And its needs are to support you, not greater than you. So when we look at some other things, so let's focus on one thing that your state needs to do. In establishing that all of this land within the state and within your counties are resources, whether they be mineral resources, whether they be manufacturing, whether they be hydroelectric, dam, or whatever that is. Those things bring in revenue. And so it's not about the government's not supposed to be making money. It's supposed to be funding itself if it can. Now, it's not supposed to be funding itself to spend money on things that it wants to spend money on. So, in other words, let's say you have a lot of electricity. Let's say in your county you have a big hydroelectric dam, and that thing generates enough power, more power than the people in the county can use and consume off of it. And so some of that money, some of that power gets sold outside of the state. And so it, that money that gets generated should be a net, you know, a net gain to where everything that goes beyond the constitutional needs for the government at the county and the state level, because the county should get its fair share. It shouldn't be a stipend back from the state, because if it is being generated there, then it should have the autonomy and it should get the lion's share, where the state only gets a stipend. But right now it seems to be the other way around, and the federal government seems to be getting a stipend as well. Fact of the matter is that when you start looking at selling that and it gets consumed outside the state, whatever that money is that comes and pays for electricity, the question is electricity too expensive? Are you making too much money? Oh, well, it's great to make extra money because then government can spend more money on other things. No. Remember, our government's enumerated. It can't spend money on anything it does not have an enumerated power, role, responsibility to spend money on. So in other words, if we can actually generate, if we can actually create the revenues in different means where government doesn't need all that money, then what do? Well, they'd have to relieve some of the cost of their taxes so that they don't put so much taxation on this stuff. They should never run surpluses to where they, I mean, it's one thing to have a little bit of a surplus, like a rainy day fund for, you know, catastrophic things or what have you. But let's talk about national resources and state resources for emergencies and a rainy day fund. See, right now there's this thing called the Commodity Credit Corporation, which is this concept of silages of food, national food supplies, where they've got silos. The federal government owns silos to say, we're going to take care of the people if all of a sudden there's not enough food. Well, guess what? George Bush emptied our silage way back in 2006. He started pouring that stuff out, and that stuff hasn't really been replaced. And bottom line, I don't trust the federal government to maintain that. Each state should have the responsibility of having their own, if you want to call it a commodity credit, not corporation, a commodity credit entity, where they actually have, you know, these commodities in storage for the purposes of feeding the people. Now, you have to keep these things, you know, rotated, right? Because grain will only sit in silage for so long before it goes bad. So if you have a program where you actually have this excess money or this excess food, then that food needs to go back into the state in whatever mechanism of feeding people as you replenish your stock, as slowly as you take 1 year's silage storage away, you know, and you do the rotation of a 15-year cycle, whatever it is, to ensure that you maintain a fresh commodity of rice, corn, wheat, and whatever you believe you need, like powdered milk. We should have the states actually taking care of, this emergency supply. The federal government can't do it, and they've only proven that they will use it as a weapon. They will weaponize anything and everything. And as a matter of fact, government will do the same. So it's better for the state to actually coordinate, being the coordinating body, but the silage and the storage should actually be in everybody's county. In other words, your county should be your emergency provider, your county and your community. We need to start thinking local. We need to start actually saying these responsibilities belong locally. They do not belong at the national level or at the state level. That's way too far removed from the people themselves. This is how they can actually empty the silage and use it to manipulate food markets throughout the world and cause outcomes that create bad political ramifications, such as what George Bush did in 2006. And if you don't believe me, there's a really good article that was I found on Seeking Alpha that talked about the Arab Springs and how what George did in throwing that food into the market over a period of like 4 or 5 year time frame, it went from 2006 and that program continued into 2010 to where when that food dried up, all of a sudden the cost of food shot up in Arab countries, which caused the Arab Spring. Because that next thing you know, the people go to the market and food costs double the price. And they don't have the money to pay for that. All of a sudden, they had to decide which kids were going to eat or whether they could even feed themselves. Folks, this was a dark day in the world based on what a Republican, George W. Bush, did. That should never have happened. Should never have happened. Yeah, he suppressed it, but it actually caused a rippling effect in suppressing, but even a bigger effect when all of a sudden that suppression ended because the cost of food was going up. Why? Why was the cost of food going up at that point in time? Because America's dependency was shifting. And as they were inflating our money, they made us none the wiser that more and more of our food and grain and so forth was actually coming from foreign nations. We're no longer providing for ourselves. Folks, if you start looking at who really needs to be stepping up and doing these things, this is why the federal government doesn't have the constitutional authority to do this. Your states need to have this, but your counties need to possess the powers. In other words, they need it, and this is why in your county constitution, you're going to delineate that these powers of deciding who and what will be determined, and it'll be apportioned based on population of the county, that the state government will not be able to manipulate this. They will be a general government in ensuring that they are providing the services necessary to all people, instead of servicing the population centers inappropriately. Now, I've railed a lot about this because this is big, and we need to talk about having some petitions to actually start taking these things on, folks, because the day of plenties are over and the days of nothing are coming. So this is how we can start addressing these things with First Amendment petitions. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.